Devil's Advocates, because it's always 420 somewhere.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you missed any of this fine program, please go online to domandcrute.com. You can listen to and download podcasts and interviews.
Dominic, we are joined right now live via phone by Brett Johnson from AM 950 in Minneapolis. Brett, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, buddy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, thank you, Brett.
Well, I understand you are previewing your big show. You're filling in for Matt McNeil today. We appreciate you joining us as well. Don't hold back, though. Give us the best. Update us. Your impressions, day one of the Chauvin trial.
Yes, it was interesting to watch the opening statements from both sides right now, especially on the prosecution side, really trying to hit home the point that the idea that the death of George Floyd was caused by drugs in his system does not really make any sense. No, he was killed because he was having the officer, Derek Chauvin, kneel on his neck for over 8 minutes. So that was the point that I thought they were really trying to drive home and did a good job of doing. The defense arguments are interesting to look at right now because they really seem to be hitting on this point that somehow the crowd of bystanders that were urging the police not to kneel on his neck somehow were the cause of Derek Chauvin's behavior. So they were mainly hitting that point home. And then, of course, also talking about how, well, there were drugs in his system and that contributed to his death, which I don't quite get because, as I understand Minnesota law, even if there were drugs in George Floyd's system, if Derek Chauvin kneeing on his neck was even a contributing factor to his death, that's still enough to convict him. So I'm not quite sure exactly what the defense is doing right now or what their legal strategy is. Obviously, they have their work cut out from them. From at least my perspective, this should be a pretty slam dunk case, but nothing is ever that when you have a case involving the police. But yeah, some really interesting legal arguments, and we'll be covering that more during the 4 o'clock hour when I'm on here on AM 950. We'll have someone much more knowledgeable than me, former lawyer Jack Rice, talking with us about that. But that's at least what I saw from the opening statements today.
But you're holding back on us, man.
Yeah.
Our pal Brett Johnson from AM 950. Brett, what's the community's tenor right now? Obviously, jury selection took a couple weeks, and this has been, let's call it, an eagerly anticipated trial. But what's the community feeling like? Is it on eggshells? Can you feel it palpably when you're out in the community, if that's feasible during this pandemic, Brett?
Yeah, I do get that feeling right now where we're just in almost a holding phase right now, where I don't think we're going to really see anything come undone unless we have a verdict that, well, does not go the way of where we think it probably should go in terms of Derek Chauvin being convicted of those murder charges. That's what has me very concerned. But for right now, I just feel like the community is kind of on edge right now and just awaiting to see what happens at this trial to see if justice can be served for George Floyd. But I would be very, very nervous about what's going to happen when that verdict comes in, because I feel like we could run into this exact same situation that we had happen last May, where, of course, we had lots of protests and riots here in the Twin Cities. So for right now, we haven't really had any of those types of actions, but I imagine that's going to change once we do have a verdict in this case. And that'll, of course, depend on how that verdict goes and what kind of sentence Derek Chauvin could end up facing from this case.
In part, Jerry Blackwell, the prosecutor, pointed out it's not a split-second decision. This happened over the course of minutes. Mm-hmm. He told them, I can't breathe 25 times or more. What was your impression? I think the prosecutor's done a very capable job up till now.
Yeah, I think he drove that point home, that it's not a split-second decision. We're saying, oh, I need to kneel on this guy's neck because somehow he's a threat. He kneeled on his neck for over 8 minutes, and as we heard during the opening statements today and even during some of the witness testimony that we've seen, he's really emphasizing that point that Chauvin kneeled on his neck for over 8 minutes. That's not a split-second decision. He had every opportunity to get off his neck or at least check his pulse, which of course Chauvin did not do. So yeah, I definitely agree with you right there that they're definitely laying out that case that it was not some sort of split second life or death decision that Derek Chauvin was making in that case. Now, of course, the defense is going to try to say that, well, because there was a big crowd there videoing what was happening, it impacted the decisions that were being made by Derek Chauvin. But to me, that still seems like a very, very tall order to try to make as an argument for the defense's side.
Well, imagine, you know, witnesses to a police murder in the real time. People might get agitated. Our guest, Brett Johnson, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, joining us for a couple more minutes. Brett, let's fast forward here. Regardless, let's assume that he's found guilty. Is there any concern for the locals here, I guess anyone who seeks justice, for an appeal? Because there wasn't a change of venue, or because this settlement was announced, a $27 million settlement with the George Floyd family prior to this. Any concern that this will, no matter what happens here, that upon appeal, this could get overturned?
Oh, gosh, I hope not. I just can't imagine what that would do to this town if we had, a guilty verdict, and then all of a sudden we have a new trial or a case that gets thrown out because, as you guys were alluding to, possibly they could make an argument that, well, this should have been held at a different venue because of that settlement that the city of Minneapolis had with George Floyd's family. I hope that's not the case, but again, I'm no lawyer myself, but I could see that possibly being an argument saying, well, the city of Minneapolis did this settlement with George Floyd just before the trial, and therefore it impacted how the jurors were thinking about that, and this trial should have been held in a different location. Not saying I agree with that. In fact, I don't, but I suppose it could be a concern, but I really hope it's not. I don't have a legal background as to whether that could be an argument for throwing out any verdict that comes from this case, but I would be concerned if that happens, just what would happen here in this town, Minneapolis and St. Paul, if that were to happen.
Yeah, no doubt. Very concerning, Brett. The use of force, obviously, the main issue here. It's not the drug use. It's not anything else. It's the fact that this officer, sat on this, or kneeled on George Floyd's neck for 479 seconds while he cried for his life 25 times, saying, "I can't breathe." Now, my impression, given the video that I've recently seen again, Brett, obviously folks around there agitated, concerned, you're killing him, as they're yelling at the cops, there's video being recorded. It seemed to me there was plenty of time and plenty of officers there, Brett, that could have separated, gotten up. George Floyd was handcuffed on the ground at the time. What does the defense say about the extent of time, 9 minutes, for this to happen? It doesn't make any sense to me, Brett.
No, that doesn't make any sense to me either. Yeah, you had four officers in there in total. Someone could have at least checked on his pulse or realized that there was no threat being posed by the crowd. I just need to emphasize that again. Yeah. You can go back and watch those videos if you can stomach it. But the crowd was just essentially saying, hey, get off this guy's neck, or at least check his pulse. They were posing no threat to Chauvin whatsoever. And again, that just seems to be the route that the defense is trying to go down, that somehow the gathering crowd was making him nervous and therefore impacted his actions. I'm not sure that's the best route to go, but they don't really have a lot of options in this case, at least you would think. But then again, with these cases with police officers, you never know, unfortunately.
Right. Thank you, Brett Johnson, our pal from AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Normally, we tell you stick around for Matt McNeil, but today, stick around for more Brett Johnson and his fine attorney guest, Mr. Rice, right?
Jack Rice, you got it. Yep.
Brett, thank you so much. We got a fine guest ourselves. The rest of you, stick around. Dr. Jill Underley, she is a school district administrator and a candidate for Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instruction. Brett, we'll catch up soon. Thank you, man.